Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, fight fans, and welcome to this issue of Knuckle Up on Sports Action Network Radio. It's your host, George Bowley, and as always, sitting in, the editor at The MMA Corner and Scrap Fight Magazine, Mr. Josh Davis. What's going on, brother?
You know, enjoying the day. It's a beautiful time of year. We have MMA, the start of football season. I just love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Well, good news is I bought my snowblower last week. And school year's a little funny. I just found out my son has a four-day weekend. So.
A four-day?
Four-day.
Nice.
No,
nice.
Not nice. Because he started school last week Wednesday, okay? And he had to go to school Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then he was off Monday. Went to school all this week. And now, I guess it's a Jewish holiday, so he has off Monday and Tuesday, right? So I'm just like, they should have stacked it together where we could have gone and got a last little end of the year proper vacation as opposed to the choppy stuff that we did. You know what I mean? Running back and forth, trying to get him in school. It's just crazy.
No, crazy. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. As a kid, nice to have the 4 day though.
Oh, he told me when he got off the bus, I'm done. I don't got to go back to school till this. She didn't give me any homework. I was like, okay, but you still got homework here. So his heart is going to be broke as soon as I get off this show.
Homework never stops. And that's what I tell my daughter all the time when she's like, Daddy, teacher didn't give me any homework. Good, good. So you have more time to do the stuff I assign. Even better.
That's right.
I love it.
Absolutely. Back to fight news. Do we have any major fight news, MMA-wise?
Well, you know, there have been two major announcements this week. The first one, kind of disappointing. Cain Velasquez and Fabricio Werdum won't be fighting until March. It is what it is, but that's when that bout is going to take place. And the bigger news, Dominic Cruz and TJ Dillashaw is official for January 7th. And even bigger is how they're going to showcase this fight. It is not a pay-per-view event. It is not a Fox event. But this will be the first title fight ever on a Fox Sports 1 card.
Oh, wow. I guess they have to compete with football, huh? And so Fox needs the space and giving it to Fox Sports 1?
You know, I asked that exact question and didn't get a yes or a no response. I got the politically correct response. I kind of think that they're doing this because Dom spends so much time on Fox Sports 1. He has a Fox Sports 1 following, so to speak. And so I think, they feel like they can really capitalize on that channel with Cruz. And so I really think that was the motivating factor.
Okay. I mean, look, it makes sense. The only thing about Cruz is the fact that Cruz hasn't fought. You know, about those announcements, even with Cain Velasquez and Werdum, it's just like, you know, Werdum is going to have a fight to keep himself in fight shape. You know, Velasquez hasn't, they didn't put a fight in place for him since he got beat. And I always think that that's just a bad formula for fighters. You know, you got to get back in the ring. You got to get your confidence back up, even if you fight a chump. You know, you just got to do it.
Well, you know, Dom did have his fight against Hideo Itaki, however you pronounce his last name, in which he was where he was very dominant. And then, again, was supposed to get the title shot and got injured again in training. I think basically said that he felt like he was ready, that he could compete and didn't want what I call a tune-up fight. And so that's why they're going with Dom. Cain, on the other hand, I don't know what Cain or Cain's camp is thinking. I mean, I know they're very confident and they believe in Cain, but with all due respect to Cain, he got his butt whooped. against Fabricio. And just going back and training some more, not getting any new octagon time, just going back and training some more, isn't going to get it done. I think Fabricio is going to whoop him again. I think Kane does need a tune-up fight. I think Kane does need to fight somebody else, not because he can't beat Verdum, because I think he can. It's just he needs to get that octagon time in again. He needs to get rid of that rust. He was off for a very long time, came in, looked terrible. If we're just being honest, he looked horrible. And then taking more time off without fighting anybody, you're not going to come in and look better. You're going to come in and look worse.
Look, that's my whole point. That's my whole point. Look, in Mexico, Verdum looked like he was the nation's son. He looked comfortable. He didn't have any problems. I mean, Kane, when he was going, he needed a police escort. It was like he couldn't do anything. Like he was just a complete fish out of water. You know, and I was even joking to myself. I think I even mentioned it on the air. Excuse me. That Verdum sounds like he speaks better Spanish than Kane.
Yes.
You know, and he's from Brazil. Imagine that. Okay. And it just wasn't his night. Whether they say it was the altitude, this, that, and the third, I think it has a lot to do with that. But, you know, I don't think it was the altitude. I think it was the lack of training and complete underestimating of what Verdum had achieved. Truly had achieved, and how he has upped his game to the point that he knocked off one of the best and did it convincingly. I hate to say it, but it was like almost a man beating up a boy.
It was. You know, again, we use this phrase all the time. It really looked like the teacher beating up the student. I mean, he was a step above Kane on everything that Kane did. And then when Kane's corner told him, you've got to get the takedown, I mean, again, that tells me right there that Kane's camp right now does not know what they're doing. If they're, again, the advice they gave him in that fight got him defeated. The advice that they're giving him now to take this fight instead of something else is just bad. It is bad, and that is not doing what is best for your guy. Sometimes you do need to tell him, hey, let's take this fight over here. Let's get warmed up. Let's get rejuvenated. Let's get our stuff back together. And then we'll go get the title back.
Yeah. So also, too, you know, Dominic. Dominic has been sidelined with injuries for the last 5 years, if I'm just being honest. You know? And young guy, great talent. But at just some point in time, you know, like George. You know, George was sidelined. George St. Pierre was sidelined with injuries for a long time until he finally got the message, maybe it's time for me to step away. Just asking you that question. Do you think it's time for Dominic to step away? Look, he has a tough fight in TJ Dillashaw. Dillashaw is completely fearless right now, and he has the momentum and the edge coming into this fight that basically he's knocked off the number one guy. Now, Cruz can say what he wants to say about it. He never lost his belt, and that's true. But a guy like Henan Barral until Dillashaw beat him, you know, this kid was undefeated, I think, for almost 5-6 years. I mean, hasn't lost a match, excuse me, in 5 or 6 years.
Here's the thing. Cruz can say whatever he wants. He's right. He didn't lose the title. He was stripped. Why were you stripped, Dominic? Because you couldn't perform. Because you were injured. For well over 2 years, you were injured. And then when you came back, you got injured again. There is no question Dominic's fighting skills, Dominic's talents, absolutely is one of the best in the world. However, his body is showing me that it can't do it anymore. Whatever training that guy did to himself to make himself as good as he was, to give him a style that nobody else had until TJ Dillashaw kind of recreated it, whatever he did to his body was too much. And now his body is telling him, hey, I can't handle it anymore. From an athletic and skill standpoint, should he retire? No, he's still got a lot left. However, from a common sense standpoint, and let's think about the longevity of your life and what you're going to be doing 15 years from now, absolutely it's time for him to retire.
Yeah, I just see it. And like I said, he's a great talent. You know, he came from San Diego in the old Total Combat days, but it's time for him to go. It really is time for him to step back. I mean, he has to think about quality of life after the sport. You know, what people don't understand, and I can tell you as a striker and an athlete, is the fact that you have injuries, and then you have chronic injuries. And a young man to have a chronic injury like that, it's debilitating. It literally is. It literally is. It's almost for a boxer when he has brittle hands. He can't even hit a punching bag or a catch mitt without breaking his hand. You know, it's completely debilitating. And that brittle hand syndrome has sidelined a lot of great boxing talents. A lot of great boxing talents. They had to retire long before. Some great prospects, man, that came out of Golden Gloves in New York. Had to retire before their career got started because, you know, every fight they were breaking their hand. So those chronic injuries is serious, definitely serious. You know, Cruz is a talent that he can transition, man, into broadcasting, still make a great living for himself when he decides to start a family. You know,
that's the big thing. It'd be one thing if we were talking about somebody who, again, all they have is fighting. I don't want to be disrespectful, but let's say they don't have a college education. They didn't come for money. They don't have anything other than fighting. Take fighting out of their life and they're not going to survive. There are those people out there. Dominic Cruz is not that guy. He has a great gig with Fox. They love him. They do pay him good money to do that stuff. He doesn't need to go back to fighting anymore. He could easily retire, call it quits, and just tell all these kids on top to do the show, you know, the post-fight show, how they suck and get great ratings for it. Well, he doesn't need to fight anymore. He's not the guy that life is dependent on him fighting.
Yeah. Look, there's no doubt about it. And that's the great thing about, you know, having a career, another career after your fight career, after your first career. You know, it happens in major sports all the time, whether it be soccer, baseball, football, basketball. You know, during the Olympics, it's a great time. All the retired Olympians go on all these major networks and get commentary deals. You know what I mean? There's a life after your prime sport if you're a professional athlete, and you thrive at it. You definitely thrive at it, you know. So we'll definitely see. What do you think about the comment Dana White made about Misha Tate? He said, you know, what did he say? He booked Holmes and Rousey because he was trying to save Misha's career. Do you believe that, or you believe he was trying to save the UFC's bankroll?
You know, I think it's a terrible comment to make, even if he does believe that. You can't say that out loud because basically you're saying that you are a person who books fights knowing that one person can't win. And if that's the promoter you are, that's, you know, that's terrible because you should be booking fights where you think either fighter could win, you know.
Right.
I think, honestly, the UFC is saving books. They knew that they couldn't promote Tate Rousey 3. I mean, at this point in time, that's not a fight that anyone wants to see again. Now, let's say that Misha Tate wins her next fight, which is a very good one. Then maybe you have to do it because there's nobody else. But I think the UFC was trying to save their bankroll. And Holly Holm has a big following outside of your normal MMA crowd, again, because of her boxing, kickboxing, other combat sport background. Again, the UFC, like you said, just trying to save their pocketbook.
Well, the thing about Holly Holmes is the fact that, you know, she comes in and she's taking on the top. If she loses, everybody can go, oh, well, she can just go all the way down and start all over again. But it's debilitating. Sometimes fighters, if you're not at that level to be able to compete at that level, it breaks the fighter. It really does. You know, it really does break the fighter for them to be able to get back up. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes it takes them years to get back up and get back on this horse. And by that time, God forbid Holly Holmes loses and she loses, you know, terribly. Great for Ronda Terrell for her. You know, Ronda may be out of sport by the time she gets the willpower to get back up and the confidence to fight Ronda again, you know. So it goes both ways. It can completely tear down your prospect that you're trying to put in place and make them the next face of the sport for the next couple of years, you know. Let's be honest. Gina Carano, she was on her way up. She really was. Had some great fights. Ran into Chris Cyborg, and Chris retired her. Gina Carano hasn't fought since. She fought Cyborg in Strikeforce. You know?
And despite all speculation of her coming to the UFC, so on and so forth, Gina's never wanted to fight again.
No.
That fight with Cyborg is the exact fight that you're talking about. It did so mentally debilitate her. She never got the confidence to get back in the ring. And even when she was still training at Jackson's camp, everyone that I talked to was saying that she didn't have it. She completely lost the desire. Everything she was doing at that point was just going through the motions, just keeping her body tight and in shape.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And that's how crucial fighting is. No doubt. No doubt. I can tell you from competing, that's how crucial it is. Something happens that you just have a hard time of getting over. Fight fans, and that's why, you know, when I sit here and talk about a tune-up fight, that's not for the physical, it's for the mental psyche. To be able to help you step back on the gas again and give yourself that mental boost that you need to jump into a high-stress combat-type situation. You know, there's no doubt about it. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was just going to say real quick, because once you're in that fight and you make the mental determination, dang, I wasn't ready for this, the fight's over. There is nothing that you can do that is going to rebound you from that. You have already mentally broken. Sometimes that happens in the first 30 seconds.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. I've been in matches and regionals. I mean, this was years ago, where I was just like, I'm just outmatched. All I'm doing here is just surviving the round and not trying to get hurt seriously. That's it. Just outmatched. You know? And when we fight, we fight two-minute rounds in amateur and at our level where we did and what we still do at international and national competition. So just imagine going into that the first 30 seconds, you go, I'm outmatched, completely outmatched. I don't know what to do. You know, a 16-by-16-meter ring, all you can do is just dance, run around the ring, use your footwork, get out the way. You know what I mean? But you know you lost. You know you lost. So, something interesting. Can we say it's official? I guess Bellator is the new pride. Did you see their announcement they made about the I forgot this lady's name, but she was the announcer for Pride for years.
Yeah.
It's undeniable when you hear her name and you hear her announce. So
when
I guess we're going in
voice,
that direction, huh?
You know, again, I don't know what to say about it, and it's funny. So Scott Zier, who used to do all the PR stuff for Maximum Fighting, for the MFC, he's writing for the MMA Corner now, and he wrote a great article on this once it was announced, and he basically called Bellator out and asked them, you know, what the hell are you doing? Are you trying to copy Pride? You're using their same names. Now you're trying to hire, well, not trying, now you did hire their former ring announcer. What's next? Are you going to change your name to something Pride related? And it's very interesting to see that that's what Bellator and Viacom and Scott Coker are doing these days, because they, in my mind, didn't need to do any of this. I mean, they were moving forward very nicely with the path that they were on. I don't understand their line of thinking on this. Are you trying to be Pride? Is that the question? Is that what you're trying to do?
Well, you know, one half of me says, great. Fans, when I tell you I miss Pride, I miss Pride. Pride is a void in my MMA fan psyche that it's just something you never get over. It was just that special to mixed martial arts and the promotion of the sport. It just really is. You know, I can't tell you how much that it was, because no matter what happened, to me, in my mind, and maybe this could be because it's been more than 10 years, but I never saw Pride put on a bad show. Even when they did the carnival acts, you know, Fedor fight Zumba. Fedor's 215, this guy's 500 pounds. Or Hongman Kim fights, you know, a guy who's 180, you know, Minowa, something like that. It always
never
seemed, you know, it always, even though you go, oh my goodness, I can't believe they're putting on these carnival fights and X, Y, and Z. But to me, it always seemed like they never put on a bad show. You know, there was the theatrics, there was the fight, there was the drama, there was the, you know, everything that you would go into a fight card and go, you know what, if I got to order UFC or Pride this weekend, I think I'm going to order Pride, you know, because it was always there. It was always fascinating to watch the different levels of competition and how they did it, you know, and that's what I miss about Pride, is that excitement. Now, like I said, it's more than 10 years. Obviously, they probably did have a bad show, but the build-up and anticipation was more than enough to sit there and go, yeah. I don't know how many UFC shows within the last year. I just didn't watch. I'll catch them on this. I'll TiVo it. I got something to do. I'll do that something as opposed to sitting home and watching fights.
Well, and again, the great thing about Pride, which I don't think anyone will ever match, is every Pride event was an event. The whole thing from beginning to end was an event. And when you have that type of mindset, it's different. The UFC puts on shows. They run through them as quick as they can. They do as many as they can, so on and so forth. Pride, it was an event. You know, it was, you closed down the entire island style of event. And then when you add the crowd, which Japanese crowds are insane. They take their mixed martial arts crazy, completely different. And again, watching those from your couch with that kind of atmosphere, no one's ever going to match that. And then having fighters going out and actually performing and putting on the best fights they possibly could. No, you can hire people that work for them. You can call your events their same name. But unless you're willing to do everything that Pride was willing to do to make these shows a spectacular event, you're never going to get there.
I mean, remember when they used to sell out the Hiratama Arena? Mm-hmm. 70,000 people. You know what I mean? Just for one event.
In minutes.
You know, for one event. And you were like, I'm there. Like, I'm sitting here. You know, they never used to do time delay, so you used to stay up off hours of the morning or in the afternoon watching Pride. And what are you doing? I'm watching fights. You know, 13-hour difference. I'm watching fights. You know, it was intense. It was a fun time in mixed martial arts.
It was awesome. It was awesome. And again, I'm with you. I don't think they ever put on a bad event. But I've also reserved myself to the unfortunate fact that, like I said, I don't think anyone will ever be able to match that. I don't think, as an MMA fan, we will ever see anything like that again, which is sad.
All right, with that, let's hold on 1 minute, take a break, come on back.
Your days at the newsstand are over. Scrap Fight Magazine brings all the world's mixed martial arts action to your computer with a click of a mouse. Read articles, interviews, and feature pieces from some of the world's most respected fight journalists, and get the lowdown on the biggest MMA events and fighters from across the globe. And because Scrap is digital, you'll have full access to the integrated audio and video segments. So subscribe now at www.scrapfightmag.com and get your scrap on.
All right. Guess what? I just got a message. My snowblower is ready for pickup.
Nice.
Let's shift gears really quick. Floyd Mayweather. Ugh. Andre Berto. This is just a complete disaster for him. Not for boxing, but for him. They haven't even sold out a quarter of the tickets. they went from $15,000 tickets for the Pacquiao fight to barely $1,500, and the fight is tomorrow. You think this is self-inflicted for Floyd, or this is the lesson that he needs to finally step away from boxing?
You know, I certainly think that Floyd is responsible for this. I think the recent reports related to him, you know, taking injections before the Pacquiao fight is not helping his cause. And let's be honest, he's fighting Berto. That's not helping his cause. No disrespect to Berto. But where's the... You and I are both boxing fans. We love boxing. We love MMA. We love kickboxing. If it's a combat sport, you and I are all about it. So I'm just going to ask you, where's the value in this fight? Why should anyone buy these tickets?
Well, you know, I was actually thinking about this fight. You know, I realize he wants to retire 50-0, and he only has two more fights left to do that, Berto and one other. But I go back and think about when Mike Tyson fought Douglas in Japan in 1990. You know, that we boxing fans were talking about this was the same type of thing. You know, Berto's walking into this fight with absolutely nothing to lose at all. And that makes him a dangerous fighter. Rather, Floyd is like, look, I can beat him on my worst day. He still has to jump into the ring and beat him, you know. And that could be something completely different. You know, odds are Floyd has enough defense to run around the ring and win, but you just never know. It could be one punch that you never recover from. Look at the Douglas fight. The punch that ended that round, the next round Tyson never recovered from it. And the next thing you know, he was knocked down. So, who knows? I think he destroyed it for himself with such big numbers, soured everybody. I mean, the people that went to the Pacquiao fight aren't going to pay for this fight or even bother with this again. On both parties, whether it was Manny's fault, whether it was Floyd's fault, because let's be honest, the money that they guaranteed to pay him had to come from somebody. You know what I mean? So if he wasn't so greedy and needed, you know, $200 million, then maybe it could have been something else. But this is business too, you know. And it was on both sides. The thing I've always said is that fight was done 2 years ago, would have been a different fight. We'd be talking something different about boxing, but it's just a shame. I mean, even tomorrow, I got plans. I'm not staying home to watch the Andre Berto fight Floyd Mayweather. You know what I'm saying? I'll catch it on reruns or T-ball it. So,
yeah, I will, to be real honest, I'm not going to watch this fight live tomorrow. I'll probably see it on the results and whatnot on ESPN and Twitter, so on and so forth. But I'm going to wait until next Saturday when it's on HBO for free.
Yep. Absolutely.
If Floyd gets knocked out, will I feel like a dummy? Absolutely. But guess what? I'll get to see it next Saturday for free.
Yeah. And everything else that goes along with it. If that actually happens, I mean, you know, it's going to change boxing the way that we know it for him, because we know he's trying to retire. You see what I mean? Undefeated. So that's a big change into his plans. He'll still have one of the best records for his weight class, but he won't have the best record in his weight class. So we'll definitely see. Definitely see. Do we have any other MMA fights that we need to talk about this weekend coming up?
You know, there's a legacy event, and while I will be honest, most of the time there are fighters that few people have heard of, myself included, and I cover the sport. They always put on a good show, so definitely check them out tonight. And again, being honest, I can't tell you who the main event is, but I can tell you that I will be watching, because they always put on good shows.
Well, all right, fight fans, we got about 20 seconds left. That's our show. Don't forget, for this or any other episodes, you can go to the Google Play Marketplace and download the free Sports Action Network mobile app. For the latest fight news and information, go to DMMA Corner. That's DMMACorner.com. Check out the latest issue of Scrap Fight Magazine, Top 5 Hard Hitters for the September issue. Scrap Fight Mag, that's ScrapFightMag.com. Don't forget, everybody stay knuckled up. I want to thank you for sitting in, partner, and we'll talk next week.